The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise man from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weaknesses no stranger. Behold your King, before him lowly bent. Behold your King, before him lowly bent. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, oh, praise his name forever, his power and glory evermore. proclaim his power and glory evermore proclaim. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh,
take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible in your possession, we're friendly folks. Just ask the person sitting next to you if you may look on with them. I think it would be a help to you if you could follow along in the Scripture tonight. I realize that possibly someone went out and didn't bring their Bible with them or forgot them. I've got one right here. Someone needs one. You're welcome to use this one. Someone, anybody need a Bible? Anyone? Anyone? Raise your hand. I'll have somebody to bring it to you. If you're fast enough, I'll let you run up here and get it. Well, I certainly have enjoyed the passages of Scripture that have been shared with us tonight, and the songs that have been sang, I think, have been honoring to the Lord, and I trust that it's been a ministry to your soul. It's been a blessing to you. I want to talk with you tonight from the Scripture on a Christmas secret. A Christmas secret. You know, perhaps in your home you have Christmas secrets. I know in our home we've had a couple of Christmas secrets. Just a couple of Christmases ago, actually the last Christmas, we had a couple of Christmas secrets. We had a couple to break the secret that they were going to be engaged. Actually, I think we had three. and wow, those were Christmas secrets. Around Christmas time, they wanted to give the engagement ring, and they wanted to proclaim that they were ready to enter into the next phase of their life, be engaged, and be married. We have had a Christmas secret where we were told that, well, you're going to be grandparents. That's a good Christmas secret. Amen? You ever had a Christmas secret like that? Sometimes families choose to do things that way, and I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's in any way unbecoming to the season, to our Lord. I think it's a good thing. Sometimes there may be a present that you have for someone, and you want to keep it a secret because of the nature of the present or because of something that the significance of the present. And so you keep it a secret. Sometimes that could include a trip. Maybe you have a trip that you have planned or you have planned for someone, and so you keep that a secret. I think probably many of us, most of us, if not all of us in some way, maybe have had a Christmas secret. Did you know God had a Christmas secret? Did you know that? I want to share it with you from the Scripture tonight. It's very important. So I want you to listen to me very carefully as I share not the Christmas story, but a Christmas secret from the Word of God that God kept for many hundreds of years. And He allowed this man who He chose to pen this epistle to the Colossians to reveal the mystery and the Christmas secret. Do you know what it is? Do you know what God's Christmas secret was that He kept for so many years, and He chose to reveal the mystery of the Christmas secret? Well, let's look in the Bible. The first thing I want you to see in this passage of Scripture in Colossians chapter 1 is that it is no secret that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's not the Christmas secret. The heavens lit up and the angels sang out, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote here in verse number 13 of Colossians chapter 1. He said, speaking of this Jesus, this Christ who was born, that we celebrate his birth. But you know, we never celebrate his birth as believers now, as believers, as Christians. We never celebrate his birth in and of itself. We always celebrate his birth as it is attached to the purpose of his birth, which is his death. Notice what the Apostle Paul did here in verse number 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, while it is no secret that Jesus is the Savior of the world, it certainly should be no secret to you or I that we have been overtaken. We have become sinners by birth and by choice. We're born that way. And we're a part of the kingdom of darkness. The God of this world has sway over our lives. Yet, because it is no secret that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Apostle Paul writes a group of believers who were meeting there in Colossae, at the church of Colossae, and he said in verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What great news! What great news! Look in verse number 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, it is no secret that Jesus is the Savior. That's not God's Christmas secret. It's not. By the way, Jesus is the only answer to man's sin problem. I cannot overemphasize that. This season, as we meet with family and friends, and as we greet and meet with strangers, let's be quick to relate this great truth to men, that Jesus is the solution to the sin problem that plagues men. Listen, you can't legislate it. When God looked down on sinners, he didn't say, well, they need a philosopher. They need a professor. They need a scientist. No, they need a Savior. And thank God he sent his Son, the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Savior who in verse number 14 and 15 says he has redeemed, or 13 and 14 says he has redeemed us. He has translated us. And so it is no secret that Jesus is the Savior. So what is the secret? Well, before we get to it, I want you to know something else Paul said. This is very, very powerful, interesting. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It is no secret that Jesus, this Jesus that we celebrate, is the creator of everything. Notice, if you would, what the Bible says. In verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God? Now, I'm going to read on, but I want to stop right here just for a moment. You see that word image? It's a very interesting word. The word that the Apostle Paul uses, the Holy Spirit of God said, I want you to use a word, and he said, I want you to use this word. Now, in the book of Hebrews, he uses the express image. Here he uses the word image. Now, if you could wrap your mind just for a moment to try to get an idea, what is Paul saying here? He said, I want you to know this Savior, Jesus, okay? We heard the reading of the scripture that he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. There was an occasion where he told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But now here, Paul says that this Jesus, the Son of God, is the image of, in verse number 15, the invisible God. He is the visible for the invisible. See that word image? It's the word, if you're a computer guru, it's a word that we use called icon. They actually come from the same root, icon. You know what an icon is on a computer? If you click onto an icon, everything that icon, listen, that icon is the visible image that represents everything that's within that icon. Jesus is the icon. He is the representation of everything that God is. Someone has said that Jesus is God's language to man that he can understand. You see, in our sin, we can't understand God in all of his complexity, in all of his holiness, but Jesus is God's representative. He is the representation of God to man. And so when it says here in verse number 15, who, meaning Jesus, is the image, he's the icon. Listen, you, and I do not mean this to be in any way irreverent toward Christ, you click on to Jesus and everything that God has and is at your disposal. But only through Jesus. Now, there's no other icon that you can get all that God offers except in Jesus. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I've had folks tell me, y'all seem to get a little excited around Fellowship Baptist Church about Jesus. You better believe we do. He's someone to get excited about. You ever click on, listen, you ever get in to everything that Jesus Christ has to offer you, you too will be excited about him. He is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn. I wish that, but for time's sake, I cannot. This is a very, very unusual phrase here. This word firstborn is not speaking of a physical, it's not speaking of a person as much as it is a position. See, Jesus is not just the Son of God. See, when you get saved, you become a son of God. In many ways, every person in here that is saved is called the Son of God. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you see, when you get saved, God becomes your Father. Now, people say erroneously all the time, and it's out of ignorance, and I do not mean that to be cruel or mean-spirited. It's a truth. They say, well, you know, we're all God's children. No. We're all God's creation. And when you get saved by the grace of God, God becomes your Father, and you become his child, and now you are one of his children. So we say it here in verse number 15, who, Jesus, is the image, the icon of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Now don't try to wrap your mind around that. By him were all things created. There's two words that I think about when I read that verse of scripture. Number one, I think about immensity. You say, what's that? Vastness. When you walk outside on a clear night and you look up, all the myriad of stars, the planets, the galaxies, the universe, the earth, and the fullness thereof, Jesus made it all. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? By the word of his power, he spoke it into existence. But then I think of the complexity. Notice what he said. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Isn't that something? So I think about the complexity. When we began to look at the many, many things of God's creation, I was reading this past week, and it just absolutely just arrested my attention about the cellular structure of mankind. Now, I'm in no way a botanist. I'm not a biologist. I don't know about, you know, I don't study, you know, man, and I'm limited, all right? But when I read, I can understand a few things as I read. And I begin to read about, and I don't know that this is so, but this scientist that I was reading, he's a Christian. And I like to read after him. I noticed that Brother Jordan has also subscribed to Brother Craig. And I would highly recommend, listen, he's really, really good, and I like to read after him. Now, you have to follow along because he is a complex guy. I mean, his brain, he's got a big old head, I guess because he's got a big old brain. I hope that's why. I'm just kidding, okay, about the head, but he does have a big brain, obviously. He said that the average man has 300 trillion cells in his body. I didn't say 300, not 300 million, not 300 billion. 300 trillion cells in his body. Each one of those cells in and of itself is like a factory. And when you begin to break it down between the cell wall and, you know, then it has the cytoplasm and it has the nucleus and then, you know, from those cells, they now can get strands of DNA, and from that DNA they can detect patterns and identifications. I mean, oh, no wonder David said that man is fearfully and wonderfully made. Who made this man? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The one that many people will celebrate today. They will put a baby in a manger, and that's all they'll think about. They will not think that baby created everything. God, brethren, God. You wrap your mind around that. Is that the Christmas secret you're going to tell us about, preacher? Oh, no. No, that's no secret that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the Creator. Look in verse 17. Verse 17, it says, "And He," meaning Jesus, "is before all things." Well, we know John told us about that, right? So it's no secret what I'm getting ready to read you. John's already told us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's no secret that Jesus and God are one, and that He was in the beginning with God. But watch what He said here. He said, "And by Him all things," look at that last word there, you see it? Consist. Very interesting word. It means sustains. They just carry on. They're held together. In other words, God doesn't have to go back and keep working on His creation. God spoke and the sun began to shine. It was the light of the day, and guess what? Been shining ever since. Amen. Amen. Big old, listen, just a big old gastric ball of fire out there, and it's never burned out. Why? Because God told it to shine. That's why.
Amen.
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 You say, well, preacher, you mean that gets you excited? Very.
Right.
Very.
Amen.
To know that God is my Savior. I know Him.
Right.
You know how sometimes somebody can get a little money and people say, "Hey, that's my uncle." Amen. I mean, boy, that didn't mean anything to he hit it big. Amen. Now all of a sudden, that's my uncle. You know, well, they want to be attached to something, you know, to wealth or greatness. Well, I got to tell you something. Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. He's my elder brother.
Right.
And I'm excited that I'm part of the family.
Amen.
On this Christmas Eve night. I mean, very excited.
Amen.
That Jesus is my elder brother. Now, you see what He says there? He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I mean, God, listen, Jesus, it's no secret now, He holds it all together. I want to give you something tonight. I hope it really helps you. I hope you can take it home with you, all right? Now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I know that there's a lot going on in this world, and much of it is not good, okay? And if there's ever been a time that folks need to learn what it is to trust God and to walk with God, and the fellowship with God is in this day and hour in which we live. Amen, folks?
Amen.
I mean, it's real. Listen, it's real. The days are dark. The times are perilous. And we need to understand what it is to have constant fellowship with Jesus Christ. He's the sustainer. He said that, listen, you can cast all your care upon him because he careth for you. Roll your burden over on the Lord and he shall sustain thee. That's this word right here. He holds things together. Sometimes when life seems like it's coming unraveled and falling apart, you just need to turn it over to Jesus. Are you listening? Jesus has a way of keeping things together. I read an article 2 weeks ago about this. Brother Jonathan, pull that cell up there. There's a cell in the human body called lamin. And this is what it looks like. Now, you can research this cell. I've done it. Okay? You know what this cell does? This cell is called, in the scientific world, it's called glue. It's the lamin protein cell. All right? Now, you know what this cell does? It holds all the other cells together so that they just won't go crazy. That's what this cell does. You say, well, wow, isn't that a coincidence that it's shaped like a cross? Well, I don't think so. I think God does everything for a purpose. Just like that God can create that cell to hold all the other cells together, can I tell you that his son, Jesus Christ, can hold your life together when everything around you is falling apart? He can. Listen, you get Jesus in the boat. You remember those disciples? I mean, things were unraveling fast. But you get Jesus on the bow of your ship, and I'm going to tell you something. Things will calm down in a hurry.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. They will. Amen. The Lord can take care of you is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You say, is that the secret? That's not the Christmas secret. I better get to it. I can tell you're getting a little antsy. You better get this secret. You like a child at Christmas Eve, you want to open that present, aren't you? So, we've seen Jesus as the Savior. I hope you know him as your Savior. I sincerely do. And if you do not, I want you to know something. He wants to be your Savior. He can be your Savior if you will accept him as such. But now the choice is yours, you see. He's the creator of everything. We got, and I think I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, and I don't want anybody to be offended at me now. I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm just being truthful. I don't believe in atheists. You say, well, they don't believe in God. Well, I don't believe in them. I don't believe in atheists. I just don't. You say, what do you mean you don't believe in atheists? Well, I just don't believe that there's any... Listen, the Bible teaches in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth who? Every man that cometh into the world. Everything that Jesus has created points toward God. And there is no way. The only way a man cannot believe in God is if he trains his mind to be foolish, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Right. Amen.
So I don't believe that. Not for a moment. I don't. I believe there's agnostics, and we won't get into that, okay? We won't. But I want you to know something. Jesus is the Savior. That's no secret. And I'm glad God didn't keep that a secret. And Jesus is the Creator. He's created everything. Now, some people may have thought, well, I thought God created everything. Yes, he did, through the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. All right? The Bible says it right here. Look at it again in verse number 16. For by him were all things created. And the latter part of verse number 16 says, all things were created by him and for him. That's Jesus now. So Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Creator, Jesus the Sustainer. If you're here tonight and you're saved and your life is just seems like it's falling apart, please, please get Christ involved. He's your Savior. He is your Redeemer. He's the Lord. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He will take care of those situations, but now you've got to turn it over. Don't wrestle it back. He's the Sustainer. And then the Bible teaches in verse number 20 that he's the Reconciler. Now that's no secret. You do realize that you were born as an enemy of God. Yeah. The Bible says that when we're not saved, we're at enmity with God. And the only way we can make peace with God is through, Romans 5:1, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did Jesus arrange that? Look at verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Did you know the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself? I'm glad that Jesus came. He came to reconcile us to our God. I've made my peace with God. What about you? Brethren, I ran from God. I cursed God. I rejected God. I was a fool. But I'm glad God didn't give up on me. I am so thankful God didn't give up on me. God stuck with me. God was patient with me. One of the attributes of God that I'm learning, the longer I live, to respect more and more, is the long-suffering and patience of God. God is long-suffering and patient with us all. I'm glad that Jesus made peace with God for me through the blood of His cross. He suffered and bled and He died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. So it is no secret that He's the reconciler, that He's the creator, that He's the sustainer, that He's the redeemer. But what is the secret? You ready for it? Here it is. Verse 26. You ready for the secret? The Christmas secret. Did you see it? Look at it. I'm in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 26. The Bible says this: even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. You ready? Did you know in all the Old Testament, when the prophets were looking out in the future, they couldn't see this thing called the church. It was hidden. That's right. This dispensation in which we live of grace, of the church age, was hidden. But God sent His Son. And His Son came into His own, John 1:11 says, and His own received Him not. There were times the disciples said, well, you're going to set up your kingdom now? Now you're going to set up your kingdom? Now? But the Jews said, we will have no king but Caesar. And Pilate said, what shall I do then with he that is called Christ? And they yelled, crucify Him! Crucify Him! Crucify Him! The angry mob said, away with this Jesus! And what looked like a dark day for the history of man, and it was indeed for the history of the Jewish nation, for He did come into His own, and His own did receive Him not. But, thank God for that, to as many. See, God got us in. That's where you got in. That's where I got in. And now we've become a part of the mystery, the Christmas secret. See, the Jews said He's coming as the Messiah King of Israel. Hail Him who is King of the world. No, King of the Jews. But in the foreknowledge and all-knowing mind of God, He knew the Jews would reject Jesus. And that's how the Gentiles got in. Notice what verse number 27 says. You ready? Verse 27 says, this is great stuff. Amen. God, I just praise God for this. Don't you miss it now. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's us. What is that? You ready for it? God wants to live in you. That's the secret. God wants to live in you. Look what it says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. Someone has said, Bethlehem, was God with us? And it was. Calvary, was God for us? But the Christmas secret is God in us. Christ in you. God said, would you be a partaker of my divine nature? Would you let me take up residence in your heart? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17 says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Does He dwell in you? Does He? Has Christ taken up His abode in the Spirit of God in your heart? Does Jesus live in you? No, really, I'm serious. It's real. It's the only way you're going to get to heaven. The only way you're going to get in heaven is for heaven to get in you. Has it ever happened? I'm not talking about some little prayer that meant nothing and that was just worked up and was an emotional whim. That's not what I'm speaking of. I'm not talking about a religious experience where someone comes and they read a few lines and then they follow some kind of creed or dogma, some type of religious training and until the day they die without a relationship with Christ and they find out in the afterlife that that wasn't enough to get them to heaven. I've used this example many times. I think one of the worst things that a man could do is climb and 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 climb the ladder only to get to the top and realize that his ladder was leaned up on the wrong building. Don't you go through all of these religious ceremonies and rites and all of these rituals of religion and never receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. It's the only way a person will get to heaven. This Christmas Eve night, as we close our service through preaching, in a moment we're going to ask you to do something with your candles, and I'll walk you through that step by step. But I want to ask you a very important question. Is Christ in you? It's your only hope of glory. Now listen to me. It's your only hope. You say, well, preacher, I think I'm a pretty good gal. Well, you know, you may be. In your own eyes. I think I'm a pretty good guy. Well, you may be, but I'm going to tell you what God said. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For we've all sinned, Romans 3:10 and 23, and come short of the glory of God. Please, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, would you do that tonight? And if you have, would you live your life realizing that everywhere you go, you take Jesus with you? Because He's in you. When you asked Jesus to come into your heart to save you, the Spirit of God took up permanent abode, residence in your bosom. Christ in you. In this dispensation of grace. You see, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on and depart. Come on and depart. There was a time when Samson wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. But when you get saved in this dispensation, the secret's out now, isn't it? It's Christ in you. We are partakers, 2 Peter 1, of His divine nature. He lives in you. This Christmas season, and every day of your life, would you remember everything you say, He's listening. Everywhere you go, He goes with you. Everything I do, He bears witness. Let's all stand to our feet just for a moment. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be part of a candlelight illustration. But before I do, I want to ask you a very important question. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. And I want you to bow your head with me. I preach to you the message that God laid on my heart tonight. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does Jesus live in you? Does He? How will I know, preacher? Have you ever repented of your sin, turned from your sin and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. And I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sin. And I believe He was buried and He rose again the third day. And I want to pray and ask you to forgive me and to come into my life and save me. If you invite Jesus into your life, He will come into your life. But now if you've never done that, then He doesn't live in you. If you've never turned from sin and turned to God and asked Jesus to come into your life, He comes by personal invitation. Have you invited Him into your life? The pianist is going to begin to play. If you're here tonight and you're saved, and you would just want to come down and say, God, I want to live this new year. If I make it through the remainder of this year and you give me another year, I want to live every day of my life with the realization that you live in me, that I take you everywhere I go, that I represent you because you live in me. And I want to represent you well, Lord. Would you come and join these that are at the altar? If you can say that with sincerity and mean it, would you kneel right here with these and say, I want Christ to be represented well, and so I want to remember that where I go, I will represent Him. What I say represents Him. What I do represents Him. And I want to represent my Lord and my Savior. I want to represent Him well. In these dark days in which we live, I want to brighten the corner where I am. I want to be a light for Jesus Christ. Now, while these Christians are praying, perhaps there's someone here that tonight, while the Word of God went forth, whether it was in the reading of the Scripture from these men or through the song, or whether it was through the preaching of the Word, as the Word of God went forth, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and revealed to you that you need to be saved. That Christ doesn't live in you, but you want to pray and invite Him to. Could we help you? Could we help you make that move and know for sure that when you leave this world, that you're going to heaven? Is there someone here tonight that would say, Preacher, I'm not sure, I'm not saved, I'm very concerned, and I want you to pray for me. Could I see your hand tonight? Anyone like that? Just lift your hand high. I can see. Anyone? I want to pray for you. Anyone like that tonight? Just lift their hand high and say, Preacher, I'm not saved, and I want you to pray for me. Anyone? Anyone? All right, those who are at the altar, you just continue to pray. Just continue to pray.